Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose, and took the day off yesterday from doing a podcast. It was a national holiday here in the States. And I'll be truthful. I'm in lockdown mode this week, and in a good sense, because I've got lots of things happening. And so I wanted to streamline and simplify radio for this week. Do a little different format. Do it shorter. See how people respond to it. But anyway, the weather here is beyond magnificent. Almost 3 weeks ago, about 17 days ago, we had 2 days of snow, and yesterday and today it's been in the 90s, for my Celsius temperature fans, that's 31, 32, someplace in there. And So I put my little plants in, and they're just little seedlings, and because you put them in now, and they'll be cool, and they can kind of get established, but they've had to grow up quickly, and I'm running out and putting water on them regularly so they don't get scorched and they don't get fried, but I have to be careful they don't get boiled if I put too much water in. Anyway, that was my one diversion over the weekend, because for the rest of the time I was working. As I said, I've got a very intense week this week. I have a board meeting on Friday and had to pull all my financial information together to show the board for the meeting. And I said that I was going to have changing the way we do church. The revision that you're tired of hearing me talk about, I said I was going to have that done by the end of May. So I am working diligently on that, going to bed early, getting up early, staying focused, having my to-do list. Also, I send out a quarterly fundraising letter, and so that goes out for June the 1st. I want to get it in the mail on Thursday. So tonight after the show, I will sign hundreds of letters. I don't like to do them a standard or a pre-signature. I want to do it myself so I can thank people, write a little comment on the letter. I pray for them as I sign them. So that is another thing that I have to be doing this week. So I still want to do radio. And next week, well, I've got a lineup already. Friday, we're going to have Irene back from Kenya, so we'll be moving our show up till noontime because that's 7 o'clock in Kenya. We want to talk to her, and she wants to talk about thinking and renewing our mind as it relates to purpose, and we'll see what else we talk about next Monday. Pastor Sheldon Williams, I just want to talk about a lot of different things, but Pastor Sheldon was a policeman. He's still a policeman at heart, and I want to talk to him about just some of another incident today in the news of a man whose life was lost at the hands of police. So we want to talk about that on Monday. Tuesday, I have a counselor going to be on talking to us about mental health in this season, and it's very intense. I'm talking to people all the time who are under great stress and pressure. Pastor Yvonne is going to be back with us from the UK next Wednesday. Next Thursday, Pastor Mel Massengale is going to join us again, get a pandemic update from him and his latest perspective. And then next Friday, just a delightful couple from Toronto, Phil and Lisa Wins, who we have connected with over the last year. And so I want to talk to both of them about what's going on in Canada. So how the church is doing. So we've got Kenya, we've got the UK, we've got Toronto coming up. But for this week, you are stuck with me, at least for the next couple of days, till Irene comes on Friday. I want to make sure you're aware, and then we're going to read a psalm, and we're going to get into Acts chapter 6, relating that to your search for purpose. But starting June the 7th, twice a week, my friend and creative colleague, Steve Pieski, and I will be hosting an online class on creativity. We'll be using my book, Unlocking the Power of Your Creativity, as the study book, and we will meet online, and you will have two choices, either Sunday night from 6 to 7:30 or Wednesday night from 8 to 9:30. And it's free, and there's information on Facebook as to how you can register. You will need to get the book, and so you come one, come all. While space is open and available, and this is a kind of an offshoot of something I've done for the last 6 years, but we did it face to face. We would meet once a month and call creative people together to. Just encourage one another where our creativity is concerned. People would bring things. People would give input and feedback. And we want to do the same thing, or we're going to do it online through Zoom. So go to my Facebook page, or write me, and I'll get you the link. And it is free. And we already had somebody from Kenya register. I know Pastor Yvonne said from the UK she'll be registering. So it's going to be an international a collection of creative people who want to get together and talk about the area of creativity. Also, my app is about to have a massive infusion of my video preached messages for my church, which I've downloaded and we're putting over on the app. So be watching for that. That's why I wanted you to download the Purpose Quest International app if you haven't already, so we can stay in touch and I can let you know when things are available that I know can help you and assist you in your Purpose Quest. I want to read today from Psalm 92. It is a song for the Sabbath day. That's what the heading says. But I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway, even though it is a Tuesday. It says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Boy, that's a good psalm for any day, not just the Sabbath day. And it reminds me a little bit of Psalm 1. It talks about the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. And that's what it talks about. It will be like trees planted by the water, grow like a cedar of Lebanon, still bear fruit in old age. And so, interesting connection, Psalm 92 and Psalm 1. So I said I wanted to, last Friday, if you didn't listen to it, I started out this series with good questions that you can ask as you pursue and seek your purpose. And so if you didn't listen to that, I encourage you to go back and find that broadcast and listen to it. Today we want to move on to a passage of the Bible that I have used in every purpose presentation I have ever made since 1991. And there, one time, a few years ago, I counted them, and they were well over 1,000. So add to that number. Let's just say I've done it a lot of times. But each time I anchor my presentation with this passage out of the book of Acts. Now, I'm not trying to criticize anyone or any organization that has used this passage to justify, not you justify, sounds like they're doing something wrong and they have to justify it. That's not what I'm trying to say. To establish the role of deacons in the church. And while I believe in deacons, I believe they're biblical, I believe we churches should have them, I don't think that's what this passage in Acts 6 is really all about. They were facing a dilemma in the early church they had never faced before. In fact, when you think of it, all the beggars in the Gospels were men. And here you have poor women in Acts 6 that the widows and the church is taking care of them. So there was something Jesus said that triggered this awareness in the early church that this was a group of people that they needed to care for financially. So suddenly the church is growing and the number of widows, the poor always respond to the gospel. The rich have very often too much to lose. So you have more widows coming into the church who need financial assistance, and the church is busting at the seams in that regard, and they've got a problem, and they solve the problem creatively. There is no biblical precedent for what they did in Acts 6. So my point in that is Acts 6 to me is an example of the church creatively solving a problem, not necessarily establishing an office of the church in this particular passage. Now, why is that important? Because the church in every generation is facing situations that it has never faced before, and it must take timeless principles and apply them in a timely manner. And so that's what I take out of Acts 6, which we're going to look at in a minute. So what I have been doing during the pandemic with social media, even on this broadcast, is to me a creative response to a situation the church has never had to face before. Now, the church has had to face persecution, and I'm going to be writing about that later in the week, about how the church has innovated in difficult times. I believe this passage in Acts 6 is an example, not just of creativity, but of innovation. They took something and they developed a system, a procedure that had never existed before to handle a problem. Let's get into Acts chapter 6 and you'll understand, I hope, more of what I mean. Verse 1 says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. Let's stop right there. If you're doing the will of God, you're going to have more opportunities individually and corporately. And if a church is growing, which it should be, if it's not, there's some problem that needs to be looked at and addressed. But the number of disciples was increasing. The more people you have, the more challenges you have, the more problems you have. So how did the early church leaders handle this problem? Well, what was the problem? Well, it says the Hellenistic Jews, among them, complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we have, at best, an administrative problem here that the Greek-speaking Jews were not, their widows were not being taken care of by those Jews who had the power and didn't identify with the Greek culture. So at best, it's an administrative problem. At worst, it's a bit of a tribal, ethnic problem. And so obviously this problem was brought to the attention of the disciples. In verse 2 says, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, my sense is that the leaders were being told, you need to do something about this. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what leaders do. They solve problems. But it seems like the implication was that the expectation was that they would get involved personally. And because their response was, if this is what you want us to do, it would not be right. Now, I've often said in my presentations, if something is not right, that makes it wrong. And for each of us, there are good activities, noble activities, needed activities that are wrong for us because they're not what we were created to do. it's not part of our purpose. They said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. So I challenge listeners when I give my seminars, are you waiting on tables? I'm not talking about waitering or waitressing. I'm talking about doing something that's good, that's important, but it's not totally consistent with who God made you to be. And I use the example in my own life of pastoring. I've got two doctorate degrees, one in pastoral ministries, one is a doctor of ministry. That does not make me a pastor. When I am involved in what I call Sunday pastoring, the day-to-day activities of that role wear me down. For me, it is waiting on tables. Now, what I've done through the pandemic is I've been an online pastor, and it exhilarates me. I get up 4:30, 5 o'clock. I sit at my desk till 8:30 at night, sometimes later. And if I go over to sit on the couch or lie on the couch, I take my computer with me. And I'm not complaining. I love it. So what would God want me to do? Where is the energy for me? It's in doing what I get joy out of, doing what I love. Everything else is waiting on tables. Verse 3 says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. We'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now that sounds like, you know, they had to spend all week preparing their Sunday message. You know, they had to get up early and spend an hour and a half in quiet time. Now maybe they did that. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you do it, but that's not what they were referring to. They were talking about their purpose. You see, when they prayed, buildings shook. And I've often told churches and leaders, if you have somebody that can pray and shake a building, you want them praying as often as possible. You want them going before the throne whenever they can, because heaven listens. You say, well, heaven listens to all of us. Yes, heaven does, but I think there are some people who, when they pray, God moves. And when the apostles prayed, buildings shook. When they ministered the word, thousands of people came to know Jesus. And again, I tell churches, if you have somebody that can gather a crowd and people respond, then you want them gathering that crowd as often as possible. What is it that you do that when you do it, you shake buildings? That when you do it, you garner attention whether you want it or not? That's the power of purpose. You can't get away from that. Don't fight that. So they said, we can't get involved. You choose people to be involved. These were the deacons. This is where we get the idea of the deacons. But the word deacon literally just means to serve. So this proposal, verse 5, pleased the whole group. They chose 7 men, Stephen, and man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And the result is in verse 7, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of people became obedient to the faith. Now, what's my point in verse 7? It's this, very simply. God's ways work. When you are involved in your purpose, when you are expressing your God-given creativity, good things happen. There will be increase. People will notice. There will be energy. People will be attracted to you. You are working, but you're not burning out. You are burning brightly, and you rest, but you're not, oh God, I can't do this again tomorrow. It's, God, I can't wait to do this again tomorrow. And that's the dynamic that was present in the early church. And that's the dynamic I believe that God wants present in churches, and if it can't be in churches, then he wants it present in your life. The word of God spread. What is it that you do that when you do it, there's fruit, there's response, there's excitement, there's energy? That's an indication of what your purpose is. So when I teach this, I in one of my seminars, I I give people three things to think about, and that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Reading through Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, what are some of the things to keep in mind? And I hope I've given you a lot of things to think about already. But number one, you need to face reality. Face reality. Now, generally when we say you need to face reality, it has sort of a negative connotation. You need to face reality. That's not going well. You know, you need to face reality that that you're not very good at that. You need to face reality that this person, they may be here, but they're already gone, mentally and emotionally. And there's certainly room for that. I'm not discounting that, but I think we also need to face reality of what it is that we do right. What it is that we do that gives us joy. And so this can be a great challenge because sometimes what we do right, what we get a response to, we take so for granted. We don't think it's anything special. I always use the example of a church I was consulting with once, and they had this Madison Avenue ad campaign going, and they were getting no response to the to it for more people coming to the church. So they asked me to take a look at it, see if I can make any suggestions. But it was a beautiful program. They paid a lot of money for it. And I said, I don't think I could recommend any improvements. I said, but is there anything you do that when you do it, you do see results? You do see more people come? Now, I thought we were going to have to facilitate a long session and they were going to have to brainstorm. Immediately, they said, oh, yeah. I said, what is it? They said, if we feed people, we get a huge crowd. In fact, our pastor loves to feed people. I said, wow, so do you do it? They said, absolutely not. I said, well, why don't you feed them? I said, because they'll only come for the food. I said, well, what's the difference between coming for an ad campaign or coming for the food? There's something that attracted the people to come. I said, but anyway, let's not debate that. I said, but let's just get out pencil and paper here. And if you fed the people the way you would want to feed them, what would it cost? And let's compare it to what you paid for the ad campaign. So we did that. And what it would cost for them to feed the people was half for a year what they had paid for a couple months of an ad campaign. Face reality. That was something they did that when they did it, God blessed it. Now, not every church could give a testimony like, yeah, we could all say if we feed people, we'll have an increase. But not like they were talking. It was an explosion. They couldn't get people to go home. So that's part of, number one, facing reality. Number two, embrace change. See, when I face the reality of what I can do and what I cannot do, what gives me joy and what does not give me joy, I had to make some changes. And more than once, I felt the Lord wanted me to go into church work, but then when my time was up, I had to turn in my resignation and move on. And that could be difficult, especially if money is attached to it. But we should be the change people. We should eat change for breakfast if we are the Spirit-led people, but we're not always. And but if you're waiting on tables, but there is something that you do that you shake buildings or gather a crowd, then you may need to stop waiting on tables and you may need to shake more buildings. And that requires change. And so this pandemic has come. God is using it. I don't want to say it's come for that, but God is using it to get his people to change. The church has changed. It's not the same as it was 2 months ago. You're different, and that's a good thing. Not the suffering that's going on, but the suffering is spurring us on to ask better questions and do new things that perhaps we have thought about doing for many years, but we were afraid to do it. And of course, fear is our main enemy where the change is concerned. And finally, the third point is don't spend a lot of time trying to make something happen that's not going to happen. In my seminars, I position it, or I say it like this, don't spend too much time solving problems. Embrace your opportunities. Peter Drucker, the father of modern management studies, said one time we should starve our problems and feed our opportunities. And what does that mean? Well, if you keep redoubling your efforts to try and get results after numerous times or however many times, you at least have to be open to the fact that I need to move on. That I can keep investing a lot of energy and time and money and effort into this area, and I'm going to get a marginal return, where if I took that same money and energy and time and invested it in another area, I could have explosive fruit, or at least more fruit than I have now. Therefore, and it relates to the second point of embracing change, that you need to starve your problems. You need to stop trying to make something work that isn't working. And sometimes it's where you need to go. I have people who go to Africa, and they're able to do things there that they aren't able to do here at home. That's because God wants them doing it there. He's showing them where it is He wants them to go, not only what He wants them to do, but where He wants them to do it. And that's what the apostles did not spend any more time trying to solve this problem than they had to. They established a system. The people were involved in it through election. They laid their hands on the leaders that the people chose, and the apostles moved on, kept doing what it was that they do best, and they did best. And verse 7, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain." Well, that's all we have today for today. Tomorrow I'm going to come back. We're going to look at some purpose statements in the Bible that will give you some models to work with and some practical examples as well. And then the following day we will look at some questions that you can ask. How to find your... And I gave you some questions last Friday, but these will give you some other clues to better understand what your purpose is. All right, that's it for today. So remember, the creativity seminar or classes coming up online starting June 7th, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night that will be on June 10th, and then it's going to go for 6 weeks. Don't forget to download the ministry app. There is plenty of stuff for you there that you can benefit from. Be praying for me with all the activities that I have going on this week. I'm trusting that God is going to make a way for me to get it all done. And thanks for your patience as I do that. And again, we can be looking forward to a resumption of guests on the show starting this Friday at noon with Irene Marathi from Kenya. And then an all-star lineup next week of shows that you won't want to miss. So until then, this is John Stanko, or at least till tomorrow. This is John Stanko signing off for another day. And in the meantime, you be thinking about Act 6. Face reality, embrace change, and stop investing so much time in unproductive activity. Go to where the flow is for you. So until we're together again tomorrow, I'll sign off for now. So long.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.